Father, we come before you now, Lord, and I pray that each and every one of us would encounter you this morning. Lord, that you would speak to us in a personal, in a real way. That when we leave this service, Lord, that we would be changed. That our lives would be different. That people would see you in our lives each and every day. Father, have your way now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. If you would, open up your Bibles to Exodus chapter 34. And I don't know how many of you remember last week's sermon. We talked about kindness, the difference between being just nice and being kind. And I hope you were kind to those around you this week, the people that you encountered. And today I promise to preach fast if you'll listen fast, and we have what I want to talk to you about today is spending time with the Lord, and what happens when you spend time with the Lord, and how your life can be transformed, how your life can be changed if you truly spend that quality time with the Lord. Exodus 34 verse 29. It says, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. His face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. Now, I don't know about y'all, but sometimes my face looks radiant after I've been at the beach, after I've been out in the sun all day and it's glowing bright red from being sunburned, right? But I wonder how many of us in our day-to-day lives would people notice a radiance about us, notice that, wow, there's just something different about that person. I missed it this week, but there was a guy, he was a UPS driver, and I was backed into a dock, and I was trying to hurry and get out of the UPS guy's way to be nice, and I was like, man, I'm about to pull out of the way, and he was just like, oh, no big deal, and he just seemed kind and he seemed nice. And when I got down to his truck, you know what I heard? I heard Christian music blaring, and I thought, I could tell there was just something different about that guy. He just seemed so nice, he seemed so kind. But I don't see very many people with radiant faces, just to be honest, including myself. Verse 30, when Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant and they were afraid to come near him. You know, there's something about holiness. There's something about righteousness. There's something about being with God that it almost scares people. It almost, people don't want to be around you. They don't want to be close to you. It's like they don't want what you got, your cooties or whatever it is. You know, they're scared of you. But Moses called to them. So Aaron and all the leaders of the community came back to him and he spoke to them. Afterwards, all the Israelites came near him and he gave them all the commands the Lord had given him on Mount Sinai. When Moses finished speaking to them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever he entered the Lord's presence to speak with him, he removed the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what had been commanded, they saw that his face was radiant. Then Moses would put the veil back on his face until he went in to speak with the Lord. I want to ask you this morning, can you tell when you've spent time alone with the Lord in a personal, in a real way? Is there a radiance about you? Is there something different about your life? To me, I believe there really is. It's when we get alone, when we truly spend that time with God. And I know not everybody even knows about the fast. Not everybody's fasting. But part of this 21-day fast that many of us are on, it's about getting alone with God. It's about spending time with God. And I'm not talking about just a prayer here or there or just quickly reading through your devotional, but it's truly seeking God, is truly seeking His face. And I believe that if we would all truly do that, that there would be a radiance about us, that there would be a glow about us, that our lives would be changed, that there would be something different about each and every one of us. In 2 Corinthians, if I can get flipped there, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 through 18, it says, "But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." So what's that? What that is saying there is the Lord is Spirit, and when we're spending time with the Lord, with the Spirit of God, the reflection of the Lord's glory ought to be transforming us, so we become more like Him. Was I just speaking Greek to everybody? Because everybody's looking at me like, "What? What are you talking about?" Basically, when you're spending time with God, we should be reflecting Him in our life, His likeness in our life. Moses had spent time with God, and there was a radiance about him. And we, with unveiled faces, all reflect the Lord's glory. If you call yourself a child of God, if you call yourself a Christian today, then we should be reflecting God's glory. And I think what happens is so many of us who call ourselves Christians, and I'm not pointing fingers at y'all, I'm talking about myself too, is we get so busy with life, we get so busy with work, we get so busy with things, and we're not really spending quality time with God, so we're really not becoming more like Him. We're really not reflecting His glory in our lives. You go back to Acts chapter 4, and I've preached on this several times throughout the years, but I love this story. Acts 4, verse 1, it says, "The priests and the captains of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. How exciting would that be if we went out and began to speak the name of Jesus and we saw an increase of about 5,000 in our church? Wouldn't that be exciting? That'd be something. We'd have to put them in the gym. We'd have to put them in Taylor Hall. We might have to set up a tent to fit them all. 5,000 is bigger than the town of Mansfield. You think it can't happen? I think it can happen. But it'll only happen when we begin to reflect Jesus Christ in our life. The Spirit of God begins to live through us. Because it's not us. It's the Spirit. The Spirit is the only thing that can lead people to Jesus Christ. The Spirit working through us. Verse 5, "The next day the rulers, elders, and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Ananias, the high priest, was there, and so was Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the other men of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, 'By what power or what name did you do this?' Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked, how was he healed? Then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed.'" So they're being called in for a healing that had taken place. They're preaching the name of Jesus. Verse 11, "He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." Now this was a part, if you tune me out, listen to this. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. They were unschooled, ordinary men, but these men had been with Jesus. I think why I like this so much is because I'm an unschooled, ordinary guy, okay? I am. I'm a nobody. But hopefully, I've been with Jesus, and hopefully, that's why you guys are here this morning, because you believe that God can bring you a message through me, okay? And it's only by the power of the Holy Spirit that I'm even up here standing and preaching this morning. And that's it. Because if it was up to Pete, I'd be out those doors. I don't like reading in front of people. I don't really even like talking in front of people. But because the Lord has called me to do that, that's why I'm here. And I love this because they were unschooled, ordinary men. So this morning, if you have doubts, if you have insecurities in your life, if you feel inadequate, you know what you need? You need a touch from God this morning. You need a real encounter with God. These unschooled, ordinary men, 1 Corinthians 1:26 says, "Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many of you were influential. Not many of you were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong." So this morning, if you think you're weak, if you think you can, if you think there's no way, you're right in the spot where God wants you to be. But it's, are we willing to reach out and have that encounter with God? Are we willing to spend time with Jesus? Going all the way back to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 1. Verse 4, and it says, "The word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as prophet to the nations." Okay, so I don't know if there's any prophet to the nations in here. But I do know before God formed you in the womb, He knew you. God has a plan. God has a purpose for each and every one of us. And if you think you're weak, you think you're inadequate, you think you can't. What was Peter? He was an unschooled, ordinary man. But he'd been with Jesus. Here, verse 6. "Ah, sovereign Lord," I said, "I do not know how to speak. I am only a child." How many of us, we make excuses everywhere we go. We see the lost. We see the dying. We see people that need Jesus, but who am I to say anything? I don't know the Bible that well. They might ask me a question. I might not know the answer. You know what? People ask me questions all the time, and I don't know the answer. And you know what I tell them? I don't know. I don't know. I'll look it up. I'll see if I can help. It's okay to not know all the answers. But what we need is to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God and allow Him to speak through us. "I'm only a child. I don't know how to speak." Verse 7 says, "But the Lord said to me, Do not say, I'm only a child. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out His hand and touched my mouth and said to me, Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appointed you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, and to build and to plant." What did God do? He reached down and He touched him. And his life was changed. You know, for many of us, we can come to church week after week, year after year, and never really be changed. And it's sad. Have the same old struggles, have the same old temptations, have the same old problems. But God, guys, one touch from God can transform everything. There can be a glow. There can be a radiance about each and every one of us. Isaiah 6, 5 says, "Woe to me, I cried, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphims flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I said, here I am. Send me. So Isaiah is going from woe is me to here I am. Send me. Woe is me to here I am. Send me. Because of a touch. Because of one touch. Matthew 8, 1 through 3 says, when he came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. Immediately he was cured of his leprosy. Y'all, can I tell you something this morning? Maybe there's nobody in this room that has leprosy. But you may have a disease of sin in your life. You may be feeling lost. You may be feeling like you hadn't heard from God in ages. You may have never felt God's presence in your life. You may just be here because that's what you're supposed to do on Sunday. God's willing this morning to touch your life. God's willing this morning to change your life. And then you can reflect the glory of God. Just as we read in 2 Corinthians, you can be like Moses and have a radiance about you. Now, I've not ever seen anybody with that glow, but there can be a glow about you. There can be a difference in your life because I have seen Christians that there was just something about them. There was just something about them. There was an evangelist that I'd heard a story about back, 100 years ago. And he was in a train car, and he hadn't even preached. All he was doing was sitting there, and the people in the train car began to fall out and began to cry and began to weep and said, who are you? Because the presence of God was so strong on that man's life that the people felt that. And they'd seen their wickedness. They'd seen their evilness. Y'all, when you come in a room, do people feel the presence of God? Do they know that you're a believer? Do they know that you're a child of God? This man says, if you're willing, Jesus said, I am willing. Be clean. This morning, I believe Jesus is willing to touch every one of our lives. Matthew 9, 28 through 29 says, when he had gone indoors, two blind men came to him and he asked them, do you believe that I am able to do this? Yes, Lord, they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, according to your faith, will it be done to you? And their sight was restored. One touch from the Lord Jesus Christ, and they were able to see. One touch this morning from God can totally transform your life, your home, your marriage, your finances, your, you name it. God can change your life. God can transform you. Matthew 20, 34, Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately they received their sight and followed Him. There's story after story after story of Jesus touching people and their lives being changed. And we come to church every Sunday. Oh, God, touch me. Oh, God, touch me. No change. No difference. Why? We leave here. We get bored with the sermon. You tune me out. And I understand. I get bored sometimes with sermons, too. And I tune people out, too. And why? Because my mind's on the world. My mind's on everything else. And I'm not really desperate for God. I'm not really desperate for that touch of Him. Why? Because do I really care about the reflection of God? Do I really care? Or do I just want to make it to heaven? Y'all, we as children of God, there should be a radiance. There should be a glory. If we're His children, we should be about our Master's business. I'm going to end with these verses right here. Mark 5, verse 24. Familiar text. And it's the woman with the blood issue. 5:24. And I pray right now that the Holy Spirit would speak to you. So when Jesus went with him, a large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. Y'all, that's so many people in our society today. We're going to doctors, we're going to psychiatrists, we're turning to pills, we're turning to drugs, we're turning to everything under the sun to meet our needs that we're suffering, that we're hurting from. And it just seems like things keep growing worse and worse. Verse 27, when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I could just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Y'all, it's a shame how many people are hurting this morning, and they don't realize that if they just could just touch Jesus for just a moment, just the hem of his garment this morning, that their lives could be transformed. Verse 29, after she touched him, he says, immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that the power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" Y'all, I think of you here this morning. I think of me here this morning. A crowd of people. And they're saying, you got all these people pressing against you. All these people. And you can say, "Who touched me?" But only one had received her healing. And it was a woman that believed that if she could just touch this morning, see, you can be in here with everybody else and not receive your healing. You cannot receive your gift from God. But you could be that one this morning that is truly seeking God. You could be that one this morning that is desperate and crying out, saying, "I've tried everything else, God. My life's falling apart. I need you. I need you." You could be that one this morning that receives your miracle. Verse 31, "You see the crowd against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." I watched a story, it's been several years ago, so I can't remember all the details of it. I can't even remember what program it was on, but there was this couple, and it seems like they were in Colorado or something where they lived, and he was, I think he was some kind of bank executive, and his wife was something, and they were Christians, they were believers, and they went to church every Sunday, but said one Sunday, they both had an encounter with God. And they said it was like, "I knew God, but after that moment, it's like, I knew God. And my life changed." And you know what they did? They quit their jobs and they went to China. They didn't know why. They didn't know what they were doing. They just felt like God had said, "Go to China." They got to China and seeing all these kids that were abandoned, kids with deformities, kids with special needs, girls in China a lot of times are just cast out. And they saw all these kids with nobody to take care of them. And they started an orphanage. They had no plan of doing that. And they've got this huge orphanage now where they're taking care of all these kids. And I do remember the woman saying, because they had three or four kids of their own when they first got there, that the building that they was in, there was big rats and everything else. And she just cried and she said, Am I a terrible mother? God, have I missed what you told me to do? I'm bringing my children into this environment. They had no idea, but from that one touch of God, their lives changed, and now they're running the successful orphanage in China. And I believe, if I remember the story right, it's been several years since I've heard the story, but it's fully funded by people in America that's sending them money and taking care of them. And they said, you know, before that moment, if you'd have told us you're going to quit your jobs, move to China and have an orphanage, we'd have said you were crazy. Now, some of y'all, that might scare you this morning. You might say, Pete, I don't want to encounter with God if it means I got to quit my job and move to China. Be careful. I didn't want to be a preacher. But y'all, God, He deserves our life. We were bought with a price. And He wants to transform us. He wants to give us something more than just showing up to church. He wants to give us something more than just saying you're a Christian but not living it out. In 2 Corinthians, it says that there was freedom. There's freedom for you and there's freedom for me this morning. Freedom from the world. Now does the world still got a hold of me? I'm ashamed to say, in a lot of ways, the world still does have a hold of me. And I need that touch from God myself to be set free. I just don't want us a year from now saying my life's pretty much the same. I pray, I read my devotional, but I don't really feel God's presence. I don't really have a glow about me. If y'all would, please stand. And I just ask you to bow your heads this morning. And whatever needs you have in your life, I pray that you would just begin to cry out to God. And that you would experience God this morning like you never have before. That He would transform your life. That y'all, He's here. The man with leprosy, the blind men, that was just one touch from God and the healings came. The woman with the blood just reached out and just touched the hem of His garment. Unschooled, ordinary men that had spent time with Jesus became powerful evangelists, performing miracles themselves. But it was only after they'd been with Jesus that they were able to do it. Father, we pray now that You would reach out, that You would touch us this morning. Father, I pray that my life would be changed. Lord, that I would be transformed this morning, that I would not be so concerned about the world, that I would not be so concerned about appearance, that I would not be so concerned with what people thought, but Father, I would only be concerned with You. That You would reach out today and that You would touch everybody in this room, that our lives might be transformed, that we might experience true freedom, that we would not have to run to doctors, that we would not have to run to drugs, to bottles, that we wouldn't have to run to anything other than You this morning, and that we might know that. Father, have Your way now. With each and every heart in here, have Your way. In Jesus' mighty name. Altars are open if you want to spend some time alone with the Lord.
Come just as you are.
So what's some of the hardest things to do? Get up and come to church on Sunday morning? It's hard sometimes getting up and coming to church, isn't it? Is it not a struggle? I know for myself, I get up every day at 5:30 to go to work. But come Sunday morning when I need to get up to come to church, it's hard to get out of bed. What else is it hard to do? It's hard to read your Bible sometimes, right? You open it up and you and there's distractions. There's everything under the sun. And what else? It's hard to pray. It's hard to spend time alone with God and it's hard to pray. Why do you think all those things are so hard? It's because the enemy is coming against us because he knows that all those things are good for us. He knows all those things will bring power and strength to your walk with God. So I encourage you. Some of y'all's new. You don't know what I'm talking about for our fast. Some of y'all, you may not be fasting, but I encourage you for the next 21 days to try and make it a point to read your Bible every day, to pray every day, and to be at church. Just 21 days is all I'm asking to really fight through the temptation to not read. Fight through the temptation to not pray. Fight through the temptation to stay in bed on Sunday morning and sleep in. And when you do it, don't just do it half-hearted. Don't just do it because Pete said. But when you open up your Bible, say, Lord, speak to me. One verse may be all you need. Y'all, I can't tell you the times that I've read a chapter and one verse will stick out. One verse sticks with me. Lord, speak to me. Maybe you only need to read two verses that day and really think about it. Maybe you need to read four chapters. I don't know. But pray and ask God to speak to you each and every day that you might encounter God, that we all might become a reflection of His glory in our everyday lives. Thank you all for being here. Bible study tonight at 6:30. See you this evening.